Think about the incredible structures around us. Massive bridges, cutting-edge aircraft, those super precise machines and factories. Often the real heroes are these advanced materials, like composites. Today we're taking a deep dive into a specific type, steel and polymer, concrete composite beams. Now these aren't your standard materials. We're talking incredibly strong for their weight and really durable too.
Absolutely. It's about combining materials, you know, taking the tensile strength of steel and pairing it with the compressive power of, well, this engineered polymer concrete. It really lets engineers push the boundaries in construction and manufacturing.
But even with these great materials, the real world throws curveballs.
Exactly. Things aren't always perfect.
And that leads us straight to our main question today. What actually happens when cracks show up in these high-performance composite beams? How do these flaws, these imperfections, affect how the beam behaves under load, its stability?
Because even the best materials can develop issues, maybe during manufacturing or just from wear and tear, you know, the stresses of daily use.
Right. So to get some answers, we've been digging into a really interesting study. The title's a bit technical. A study on the crack presence effect on dynamical behavior of higher order quasi-3D composite steel polymer concrete box section beams via DQFM.
Phew.
Yeah, quite a mouthful. But the insights inside are genuinely valuable. So our mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. Unpack this research, really get a handle on how cracks mess with these structures. We're looking for those aha moments, the surprising facts, and crucially, the practical stuff. What does this mean if you build things, maintain things, or are just curious about how stuff works?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What exactly is this composite beam they studied? What does it look like?
Okay, so picture this.
Yeah.
It's basically a hollow steel tube, rectangular, and it's completely filled with polymer concrete.
Mm.
A key thing they assumed in the study is a perfect bond. So the steel and the concrete act together like one solid unit.
And this polymer concrete, it's not just regular concrete mix.
No, not at all. It's engineered. It's epoxy resin mixed with specific mineral fillers, things like ash, different grades of sand, gravel. By carefully controlling that mix, engineers can actually tune the beam's dynamic properties, how it vibrates, how it responds to loads, tailor it for a specific job.
Ah, okay. So you can really dial in the performance. Now, this study uses some pretty advanced modeling, this higher order quasi-3D beam theory. That sounds complicated.
It is a step up, yeah.
What does it let them see that simpler theories, like the ones we usually hear about, might miss?
Well, that's a great question. You know, simpler theories like Euler-Bernoulli or even Tymoshenko, they're useful, but they make simplifying assumptions. They tend to assume the beam deforms in a relatively simple way, almost like bending a ruler.
Okay.
But this higher order quasi-3D approach, it acknowledges that when you bond different materials like steel and polymer concrete, the internal stresses and deformations are more complex. There's more happening through the thickness of the beam, more squishing, more stretching between the layers.
Right.
The paper actually mentions this, that older theories kind of gloss over this complex through-thickness behavior. This newer theory captures those details much better. It's like going from a basic sketch to a really detailed internal blueprint of the stresses.
So a much finer-grained view of what's going on inside. And they coupled this theory with a numerical method, DQFM. What's the benefit there?
Right, DQFM. That stands for Differential Quadrature Finite Element Method. Think of it as a really efficient computational tool for solving these kinds of tricky engineering problems. The main advantage here is getting very accurate results without needing the massive computing resources some other methods might demand.
Ah, efficient and accurate.
Exactly. It's particularly good for these composite structures where you've got materials with very different properties stuck together. People have used it for analyzing vibrating plates, rotating shafts. It's quite versatile.
Okay, advanced theory, efficient calculation method. Now, the core of it, the cracks, how did they actually represent a crack in their computer model?
Good question. They modeled a crack essentially as a reduction in the beam's cross-sectional area at that point. So the deeper the crack, the bigger the reduction in area, which affects the beam's stiffness there.
Makes sense.
And they looked at two independent scenarios. First, a crack just in the outer steel layer. Second, a separate crack just within the inner polymer concrete core.
And they defined how deep these cracks could be.
Yes. For the steel crack, they considered depths up to half the thickness of the steel wall itself. For the concrete crack, it could go up to half the height of the concrete core inside, you know, considering the steel is surrounding it.
Okay, so they're testing cracks in either the shell or the filling. But how do we know this fancy model actually reflects reality? Did they check it against anything?
Absolutely crucial step validation they did. They compared the natural frequencies, basically how the beam naturally wants to vibrate, predicted by their DQMQ3D model, against actual experimental results from other published studies.
And how did it stack up?
Really well, actually. The agreement was excellent, less than 1.5% difference, which they detail in Table 1 of the paper.
Well, that's close.
It is. And to really show how good their method was, they also compared it against simpler theories, like Timoshenko and Euler-Bernoulli. Those simpler theories had much larger errors compared to the experiments. For instance, Timoshenko often underestimated frequencies, especially at higher vibration modes. Euler-Bernoulli tended to overestimate them, sometimes quite significantly.
Uh-huh.
Even other computer models based on Timoshenko theory didn't perform as well as their DQMQ3D approach.
So that validation gives us confidence in what the model predicts about cracked beams then.
Exactly. It shows the model is reliable.
Okay, let's get into those findings. What happens when there's a crack in the steel outer layer? Let's talk about the depth first. Deeper crack, bigger problem.
Generally, yes. Let's take a simply supported beam that's like resting it on supports at each end. As a crack in the steel got deeper, they found both the natural frequencies and the critical buckling load went down.
Okay, lower frequency means it vibrates more easily, and lower buckling load means it buckles under less force.
Precisely. Lower frequency can mean resonance problems. Lower buckling load means less stability. For example, they saw the first natural frequency drop by about 1.7%, but the third one dropped by over 5% with a deep steel crack. And for buckling, the first critical load went down maybe 3.6%, but the second one, that dropped by a hefty 27.2%. Much more sensitive.
Interesting. Did how the beam was held matter? Like fixed ends versus free ends.
Oh, hugely. The boundary conditions were critical. Clamped free beams, think like a diving board, fixed at one end were the most vulnerable to these steel cracks. The first frequency could drop almost 8% and the buckling load over 12%. Big hits.
Wow.
But beams clamped firmly at both ends. They were much more resistant. The steel crack depth didn't hurt them nearly as much.
Okay, that makes intuitive sense. Fixed at both ends, more robust.
Yeah.
What about where the crack is along the steel? Does the location matter as much as the depth?
Location is definitely critical for steel cracks. Absolutely. For those simply supported beams, again, a crack right smack in the middle of the span, that was the worst spot. It caused the biggest drops in frequencies and the buckling load. Maximum bending stress happens there, you see.
Right, right. Makes sense.
But if the crack was near the supports, much less impact. And interestingly, in some cases, moving the crack near the support could even slightly restore some performance compared to the mid-span crack.
Huh. That's counterintuitive.
It is a bit. And for the clamped free beams, the buckling behavior was different again. As a steel crack moved towards the free end, the buckling load actually increased.
Really? Okay, so location effects are complex.
Very complex. It depends on both the support type and what you're measuring, frequency or buckling.
Fascinating. Okay, let's switch materials now. What about cracks forming inside the polymer concrete core? Do they have similar dramatic effects?
This, I think, is one of the most striking results of the whole study. Compared to the steel cracks, the effect of cracks in the polymer concrete core was, well, tiny, almost negligible.
Negligible. Even for a deep crack.
Even for a crack going right through the concrete core's depth. For a simply supported beam, the reduction in the first natural frequency was only about 0.1%.
0.1%. That's nothing.
Practically nothing. The buckling load drop was slightly more, maybe 3.4% for the second buckling mode, but still incredibly small compared to the steel crack effects.
Why is such a huge difference?
It really comes down to the material properties. Steel is just so much stiffer than the polymer concrete. The study mentions the Young's modulus ratio is about 12.2. Steel carries the vast majority of the load.
Wow. Okay, so a major flaw in the concrete filling barely makes a dent, but even a smaller crack in the steel skin is a big deal.
Exactly that.
So presumably, the location of a concrete crack wouldn't matter much either then.
You got it. The study confirmed that. Moving a crack around within the polymer concrete core had minimal impact. We're talking variations of less than 0.2% for frequencies and less than 0.3% for buckling, regardless of where the crack was placed along the beam.
So unlike steel, where location is key for concrete cracks, it just doesn't seem to matter much structurally.
Doesn't seem to, based on this analysis.
This really drives home how these materials work together, or rather, how much the steel dominates. You mentioned boundary conditions earlier, how the beam is supported. Can we just recap how those different supports influence the crack sensitivity?
Sure. Let's quickly define them again for everyone. Simply supported, resting on ends, clamped free. Fix one end, free the other, like that diving board. Clamped, clamped, fixed firmly at both ends.
Got it.
Okay, so what we saw was that clamped conditions being fixed at both ends really help stabilize things, especially against buckling. They also seem to kind of suppress the effect of crack location. It mattered less where the crack was if the ends were firmly held.
Right, more inherent stability.
Exactly. But the clamped-free condition, that diving board setup, highly sensitive to steel cracks, as we saw with those big drops in performance.
But not sensitive to concrete cracks.
Correct. Largely unaffected by concrete cracks, even in that vulnerable clamped-free state. It just reinforces the idea. Steel carries load. Damage the steel, especially with less support, and you see big effects. Damage the concrete. Much less consequence.
So if we had to boil this all down, the single most critical takeaway message about cracks in these composite beams.
It's pretty clear. The steel is king. The study shows overwhelmingly that the steel component dictates the structural integrity and dynamic behavior because it's so much stiffer than the polymer concrete. So cracks in the steel, especially mid-span where bending is highest or the primary concern, cracks in the concrete core, comparatively trivial.
The paper also mentions some figures 5 to 8 that visualize this. What do they show?
Yeah, those graphs are really helpful. Figure 5, for example, plots how the natural frequency changes with crack location for different support types and crack depths. You can visually see that big dip at the midspan for a simply supported beam with a steel crack. For clamped beams, you see those two sensitive zones for frequency near the supports and in the middle. Figure 6 does the same for buckling load. Again, mid-span steel crack is worst for simply supported. And for clamped beams with steel cracks, you see the buckling values kind of cluster together, showing depth matters more than exact location, perhaps.
In figures 7 and 8.
Those focus on the effect of crack depth. They consistently show performance frequency and buckling load decreasing as a steel crack gets deeper, regardless of the support type. But the most striking thing visually in all these figures, the lines representing the concrete core cracks are incredibly flat.
Right, showing that minimal impact we discussed.
Exactly. It just jumps out at you from the graphs.
Okay, so summing up the deep dive then, the key insight. When you're looking at steel polymer concrete beams, cracks in the steel are what you really need to worry about. Their presence, their depth, and crucially their location dictate the beam's performance way more than any flaws in the concrete filling.
Precisely. And the practical implication follows directly from that. If you're responsible for these structures, inspection and maintenance efforts need to focus squarely on the steel layer. Pay extra close attention to areas with high bending stress, like mid-spans in simply supported cases. Ignoring even small steel cracks there could be, well, problematic for safety and performance.
This really does give you pause for thought, doesn't it? I mean, given this huge difference in sensitivity between the steel and the concrete, it makes you wonder about future designs. Could we optimize these composites even further? Maybe by strategically reinforcing the steel just in those high stress zones? Or perhaps developing new steel alloys that are inherently more resistant to cracking in the first place?
That's exactly the kind of question this research prompts.
Yeah, definitely food for thought for material scientists and structural engineers moving forward.